Pastor Chris is not here this morning, as you can tell. His daughter got married this weekend. Maggie got married this weekend, so he's spending some time with his family in Oklahoma City and taking some time off today, and he'll be back soon. He'll be back soon. So, hey, this week we lost someone special in our church. Don Simmons passed away just last Sunday. He was talking with me over here in our adult space, and he was showing me a little leather Bible, and he says, "Keith, you've got to take these leather Bibles with you on mission trips and give them away." And he took the time to kind of flip through the pages and show me how this Bible is special and how it was real. And Don was a great guy. He was a true servant. He helped with our disaster relief ministry. He's very close to the disaster relief volunteers in this church, at other churches in this community, and also Green Country. And so I think it'd be really cool if today we could have all of our disaster relief volunteers just to stand, just so you can know who they are. Would you stand all over the room if you're with Disaster Relief Ministry? Some are watching online. Would we just say thank you to all these people? Disaster Relief is the second largest disaster relief organization in the country, just below the Red Cross. In fact, Disaster Relief and Red Cross, they actually work together after there's floods, fires, after there are tornadoes, hurricanes. They do an incredible job at rushing in afterwards and helping people with meals, taking chainsaw crews, helping to get trees off homes and cars and roads. Saving people who don't have a lot of resources, saving them money and helping them get trees off their cars and homes and tarping their homes when the rain comes back in. They help with mud out in floods. They go and they do mud out and get the mud out of the homes. And they do an amazing, amazing work. And we're so proud of our disaster relief teams. Continue to be in prayer for them. We have them all across the state of Oklahoma, and they represent us well. Most importantly, they represent Christ well as they go into these places to help people. They just don't help, but they also have chaplains that are on site, and the goal is to share Christ with people as they're experiencing a crisis and as they're being helped. And so thank you so much for continuing to pray for the disaster relief folks. They did a great job. Grab your Bibles, grab your phones, and let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30. 27 through 30. Well, hi, Matt.
Hi, what are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm getting ready to preach a sermon here.
Oh, hey, my bad.
Yeah, so why, what are you doing?
Well, you know, I got to protect myself from the sun.
Protect yourself from, like, the sun in the sky?
Well, yeah, it's
okay.
Dangerous.
It's dangerous?
It's dangerous out there.
Okay, why the umbrella? Fill me in on that.
You know, the UV rays and those solar flares that come through the ozone layer, you got to be careful.
I think about those all the time,
right?
During the summertime. I mean, yeah, okay, I get that. No, you got a hat, but you're wearing it underneath the umbrella.
Because,
what's the purpose
of
the hat?
I got to protect this beautiful head of hair, you know.
Can I see that again?
Yeah, you
I
know.
Didn't. Wow, okay, yeah, that needs to be protected. You don't want to get danger there. You've got some white zinc on your nose, and when I was back in the 80s and 90s, we used to wear that a lot on our nose. Why the zinc?
Well, I mean, nose warts. From the sun.
Nose warts from the sun. Okay. All right. I've never had any of those before, but whatever it takes to protect yourself, right?
Me either.
Explain the big glasses. Usually just regular glasses work. Why the big glasses?
Well, you know, because I got to be hip and cool like the kids, and I want to protect my eyes so I can dress and match, you know, like my wife wants to make me to match and everything.
I get that. I think probably it's going to protect your whole head.
Yes.
The glasses are so big.
I do have a big head.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've got something in your hand there. Is that sunblock?
100 SPF.
100 proof.
It blocks 99 problems.
I did not know there was even 100 proof out there, but 100 proof. That really says 100 proof. So you spray that all over body?
All over, just everything.
Yeah.
Got to get it all over.
100 proof. Man, you're taking extreme measures.
Yeah.
You're taking extreme measures not to get sunburned and not to get danger from the sun, right?
You can't be too careful these days.
You can't be too careful these days. All right. It's summertime, right? It's going to be extremely, extremely hot. Why the jeans and the long sleeve shirt? How hot it is. Why?
Because I hate the sun. Duh.
You hate the sun?
I hate it. Like, I was broken under my skin in the showers. I was hot.
What just happened? So Matt was taking extreme measures from the sun, not to get burned and hurt. You ever had a sunburn before? It's not fun, is it? It's not fun at all. When I was growing up, we had a neighborhood swimming pool, and when school was out, every day I was there from 10 to 4. And at the beginning of every summer, we would get these big old blisters on our shoulders from the sun. It was so bad. We didn't do a very good job of protecting ourselves. But what Matt was doing, he was taking extreme measures to protect himself. The scripture we're going to look at today is Jesus speaking to the 12 disciples. He's saying, hey, as I get ready to send you out to do the Great Commission, there's some things I need to share with you. And he says, basically, you need to take extreme measures to protect your character, your integrity, your influence, and your ministry. And so that's what we're going to look at today in this scripture, all right? Matthew chapter 5, 27 through 30. Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read this together. I'm going to read it, actually. Matthew chapter 5, 27 through 30. I'd like to read the scripture, then I want to kind of share the background a little bit. So, verse 27, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Verse 29, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body would be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of our scripture. So we're in the Sermon of the Mount, and Jesus is speaking to the 12 and maybe some others that are listening in, and he's preparing them for what's to come. And basically, he is in chapter 5, starting verse 20 and so forth, Jesus is basically zeroing in on the fact that the Pharisees, the scribes, and the religious leaders were hypocrites. They even added over 100 laws to the law and never obeyed any of them, and then also pressured people to do the same thing they were doing. So he's got this in his mind, and he's basically talking to the 12 going, you can't be like them. You have to be different. You have to be faithful, and you have to have good character and integrity. And Jesus is just preparing them for what could come their way. And so he's basically sharing this information from him. And as you can see in verse 29, verse 30, these are extreme measures, right? Well, I want us to talk through these, all right? So basically, Jesus is sharing here with the disciples some ways they can tackle temptation, as they will be tempted, as we will be tempted, as we live in this crazy culture with phones, computers, television, YouTube, apps, billboards, all kinds of stuff's coming our way when it comes to lust, immorality. It's coming to us like it's never have ever been before in our time. It's only going to get worse. So this scripture relates to us today just as much as it related to the disciples back then. And I want us to look at it. So he's basically saying, hey, here's some ways you can tackle temptation. So get your pens ready. Get your phone out. Take some notes. I don't know about you, but when I take notes, it helps me to stay engaged. It helps me to remember. Hopefully it can do that for you as well. All right? So how to tackle temptation. We're going to look at the scripture and break it down. Number one, Jesus is telling his disciples, don't entertain sin. Don't entertain it. Verse 28, he says this, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The word look there means to stare, to investigate, to seek out, to search, or to entertain. Again, he says, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman, stares at a woman, investigates, seeks it out, searches her, entertains her with a lustful intent, and the word lust there means the intent to commit moral sin. There's a plan in place, and you have intent to follow through with that. He says don't entertain sin. Now, we're looking specifically at adultery and actually lust in this scripture today. But these three things that Jesus shares with his disciples can be applied to all of us with that same topic, but also just with sin in general. This pertains to any sin at any time, but in this scripture, it's specifically about adultery, but we can apply it to any sin that we're tempted with. So number one, don't entertain sin. Man, I tell you what, Chad and I, we used to serve at a church, First Baptist Church, Hera, Oklahoma. Who knows where Hera is at, all right? It's spelled the same frontwards and backwards, Hera, all right? Just east of Oklahoma City. We had this friend, his name is Rudy, and man, he loved all kinds of good food. Zagat-rated restaurants, if you know what that is. He took us and entertained us to some incredible restaurants over the years. But there was a donut place he really liked, and we didn't have them in Oklahoma yet. They weren't necessarily Zagat-rated, but they were up there, right? They're called Krispy Kremes. Who knows what Krispy Kremes are, all right? Yeah, you're thinking what I'm thinking. I'd love to have one right now, maybe even a box of a dozen, right? Well, he tells Chad now, hey, I got to do some business in Dallas. I want y'all to go with me, and I want to introduce you to Krispy Kreme. I think we got one of the pictures up here, right? That's the logo there. You know, we've got one in Tulsa now, right? Back then, we didn't have them in Oklahoma. And he wanted to take us to Dallas. We went to Dallas, and he goes, hey, guys, when we get to the store, there's going to be a sign on the outside that says hot. And if the light's on, that means that they're coming out of the conveyor belt. And let's see the conveyor belt with the, you can see the, look at that, cream at the top. The icing, these actually go through a conveyor belt, and the icing's just pouring out, and they come out, and then they harden, and it's just the most incredible, soft, warm thing you've ever had in your mouth. It's incredible. So he's telling us about that, and Chad and I are like, okay, sounds good. We get there. Well, Rudy shared with us that he was actually on a diet. And Chad and I are like, this ain't going to last. But he's on a diet. He goes, you know what? I'm just going to pray that if there's a parking spot, then we're supposed to stop there. We pull up. Londa, we pulled up, and it was packed full of cars. Packed full of cars. We went around that store 7 times. The 7th time we find an empty parking spot, he pulls in, we enjoy these incredible donuts. Diet was destroyed. It was destroyed. Did you hear what I said? Seven times he drove around that parking lot. He was looking. He was lusting. He was staring. He was investigating. He was seeking out. He was searching. He was entertaining the idea that he is going to enjoy something that is incredible, but it is horrible for your diet. Romans 13, 14 says, "Rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your flesh." Man, that's easier said than done, isn't it? Isn't it? Let's be honest. It's easier said than done. Well, this is not going to be on the screen. It's something I've kind of added. I want to share real quickly five helps to not entertain sin. These are five things that can help you to not really entertain sin. All right? So let's talk through them real quick. Hopefully you'll write them down. Real quick, five things. Number one, identify your weakness and share it with somebody. Not just anybody. Someone you trust. Someone that's confidential. Someone that you respect and look up to. Someone that's going to hold you accountable. I mean, you're not going to think of very many people that can do that for you. And even then, you got to be prayerful that you find the right person. But that's a great way for them just to hold you accountable. But also for you to recognize and admit that you have a weakness. And we all have different kinds of weaknesses. Man, James 5:16 says, confess and also pray to others. Confess with others your weaknesses and pray for one another. Number two is just pray. Matthew 6:13, lead us not into temptation. It was part of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Pray, God, help me to recognize it when I'm starting to be tempted. Help me to go around things. Help me not to stare at things. Help me not to embrace things. God, may you give me the strength and the courage to say no. Number three, hide God's word in your heart. Psalm 119:11. Hide God's word in your heart so that you may not sin against him. Learn scripture. Put it in your heart. For whatever weakness you have, there is scripture or there is a story. It is in the Bible and it will help you and it will come to your heart and your mind as you face that temptation and that sin. Hide God's word in your heart. This week, myself and Lucas Griffith went to Tepa, Mexico, just to spend some time. It was a missionary care trip. We wanted to spend some time with the pastor and his wife down there, just to love on them, check on them, spend some time with them, and we actually got to do some ministry with them. And we went about 30 minutes outside of Tepa, way out in, they call it the country, or they call it ranch, actually, out there. And we went to this high school. There was actually a classroom that we got to go and share. And we were sharing with them ways that they can, dodge sin and that kind of thing. We actually got to do that in the school setting. There was about 15 high school students. And one of the last, we wrote the points on the board. We wrote them in English. They don't know English, but they wrote it in English because they're learning English in the class. And Pastor Jose Luis interpreted, right? The last point, I believe it was one of the last points, was this. Hide God's word in your heart. And we talked about the importance of the Bible. And they looked at us like they didn't have a clue what we were even talking about. And they didn't. They don't have the Bible app on their phones. They don't have a Bible in every room of their house. They don't have a Bible tucked away in a locker at the school. They couldn't even comprehend what we were even talking about, but we still felt like we needed to communicate that to them because it was a great way for us to teach them and to let them know that the Bible is the truth and it will help you and lead you in life, in church. They were so blessed to have the scriptures around us all of the time, whether it's in paper or whether it's something we're listening to in a podcast or listening to scripture or whether it's on your phone. We're so blessed to have God's word. Let's hide it in our heart so that when we're faced with temptation, and that sin is facing us, Scripture will come alive in our heart, and it will help us to conquer that. Number four, attend church on a regular basis. Hebrews 10:25 says, man, don't stop. It says, don't stop going to church and meeting with other people. Man, small groups here in our church. I know we're meeting in large groups now because of our remodel. But our small groups, our groups are so important. They're so healthy. We can pray for one another and encourage one another as we all have weaknesses. And number five is our last one here. These are five helps to not entertain sin. Number five is this: choose godly friends. And I know what some of you adults are thinking. Yeah, my child needs to hear that. My student needs to hear that as they're surrounded by all these people at school and they go to college. Adults, that's for us too. When I was student pastor, I would share a quote. It actually, it's just a, it's scripture, and it's just kind of said in our terms today. And it's this: show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good character. Five helps to not entertain sin. Number one, identify and share your weakness. Number two, pray. Number three, hide God's word in your heart. Number four, attend church regularly. Number five, choose godly friends. We could add another 20, but we're just doing five. So how do we tackle temptation? Number one, don't entertain sin. That's what he's telling us 12 guys about, all right? Here's number two. Hope you're writing these down, taking notes. Number two, cut off and run from the source of sin. Cut off and run from the source of sin. He's talking about extreme measures. Now, he's exaggerating, and I think he probably got their attention as he's talking to them, right? Why would he catch their attention? Because he says, hey, if your right eye causes you to stumble or sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Verse 30, and if your right hand causes you to stumble or sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to get into hell. I think he caught their attention. They're like, what? You want us to, what, pull our eyes, you know, and cut our... He was exaggerating to get their attention. He was proving a point. He was basically saying, take extreme measures to protect your character, your integrity, your ministry, your influence, whatever it takes. Not literal, but whatever it takes. Cut it off. Run from it. The word stumble is mentioned twice, or the word sin is mentioned twice, depends on what version you have, in these scripture verses 29 through 30. In the Greek words, in the Greek word for stumble there is bait stick, like in a trap. And I want to show you a picture. Bait stick in a trap. There's the rock. There's the rodent. There's the bait stick. And on the end of the bait stick is some bait, right? So what happens? He smells it. He sees it and he smells it. He's tempted. And then he goes up and he just kind of barely tastes it. And then finally, he grabs it and tries to run away. And what happens? The rock falls and it destroys and kills or damages the rodent. And so when Jesus is speaking to his 12 disciples in the scripture, when he mentions stumble, he's referring back to a bait stick in a trap. And those guys at that time can understand that. They know what he's talking about. He's saying, guys, run from that. Run from the things that bait you, the things that lure you based on your weakness. Cut it off. Run from it. That's what he's saying. 1 Corinthians 16:18, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person's sins against his own body. That's another reason God is speaking to his 12 disciples, is also to remind them it's not just the action of adultery. It's not just committing adultery, the action. It starts in the heart. That's why he says when you look and you're searching and you're entertaining it, he says you're committing the sin in your heart already. It's not just the action, it's also in your heart. But he says flee from sexual immorality. In our case, flee from sexual immorality. Flee from sin. Run. Run. And we've got kids in the room today, and I want to show you this. You know what this is. This is actually blown up and made larger and bigger, but this is one of your trading pins. It looks like this. It's a fire. And you put that trading pin on your backpack, right? This is to remind you to run from the fire. If you have a fire in your house, what are you going to do? Run. You're not going to entertain it, right? You don't want to experience danger. And so that's what he's sharing in this scripture here in verses 29 through 30. So here's a question I have for you, and here's a question I have for me. What do you need to cut off? He's telling his 12 to take extreme measures so that they would protect their character, their integrity, their ministry, their influence, their reputation, maybe even physical, mental harm, emotional harm. He says, cut it off and run from it. What is that for you? What is that? Is it the television? Is it a friend? Is it a person? Is it a place? Is it a job? Again, taking extreme measures. Talking extreme measures. He's saying cut it off. Is it movies? Is it a book? Is it your phone? A computer? Maybe YouTube? And the list can go on. What would that be for you? I want us to take 30 seconds. I want to pause for 30 seconds. And I want you to think about that question for you. What is it that you need to cut off? Let's take 30 seconds. All right, number three. This is the last thing, number three. He's talking to the 12. He's speaking into their lives. He's preparing for them to go out. He's making sure that they're going to protect themselves. He didn't want them to act like the Pharisees, the scribes, and the religious guys and not obey the law and ruin their integrity and character. He's saying, I want you to be different. I want you to be faithful. He says, number three, remember the consequences of sin. Verse 30, Matthew 5:30. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than, pay attention to this next part, that your whole body go into hell. Now, when you and I read that, we might think, is he actually talking literal? Hell, as in there's a heaven and there's a hell. Is he talking about, like, no, he's not. Actually, the Greek word for hell in this particular scripture actually goes back to a word Gehenna. And I want to show you a picture of where it's at. It's a dump. It's a place where people go and put their trash. And it's outside of Jerusalem. And there's a little map here that shows you kind of the area that it was at. And way back then, they would sacrifice younger people. And that's where they would take their bodies, and they would also take trash, and they would take waste, and they would burn it. And so this place was always burning, and it smelled, and it was gross. It was unhealthy. It caused nausea for the people that lived in that area. It caused breathing issues for the people that lived in that area. And it caused them to have horrible memories as they smelled that burning place. Day and night, they said it burned. Scholars believe it burned day and night. And he's saying to the disciples, hey, you know, when they heard him mention this, they knew exactly what he's talking about. And they can remember back to the horrible things, the consequences of sin, the smell, all the bad things that causes. There's another picture of it, I think, where it shows just kind of a replica of what it might just look like, just terrible. And he's saying, remember that. Allow that to motivate you to not want to follow through and to look and to lust. He says, remember the consequences of sin. And for us today, we can remember maybe even our own consequences, a friend's consequences, a family member's consequences. Maybe you've heard about someone else's consequences. Maybe you've observed from a distance somebody's consequences. But he's saying, remember the consequences of sin. That might help you just to stay no and to stay away and to run. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. So, when I look at the scripture, Jesus is sharing these three things with his disciples. And these three things relate to us today. So a question I have for you. Out of these three, which one do you need to give more attention to? Number one, don't entertain sin. Number two, cut off and run from the source of sin. Or three, remember the consequences of sin. We need all three, right? We need to always do all three. But is there one that you think, man, that I need to really, I need to really focus on that one. Which one would it be for you? If I'm guessing that everyone in this room can identify with one, at least one, that we need to work on. Well, there's good news. There's good news. Let me share it with you. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12 through 13. Please hear this. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest they fall. Verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So here's the good news. The first thing he says here, Jesus identifies with every temptation. I did not say that he sinned. I didn't say that. But he identified with every temptation. He never sinned. So I want you to know that as you face temptation, he understands. He identifies with you. Number two in this scripture here that we just read, it says that God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Isn't that good news? It doesn't mean it's not going to be tough or it's not going to be hard, but he is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Here's the other piece of good news. This is so good. Number three is this, what I see in the scripture, number three, there is a way of escape. There is a way of escape. Whether it's the scripture that comes back to your mind and heart that you've hidden in your heart, or whether it's to run or cut off, or whether it's to remember the consequences, there is a way of escape. It says temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So as tough as it is in today's culture when it comes to lust or any other sin, the good news is Jesus can identify with every temptation. God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. And number three, there is a way of escape. Isn't that good news? That's good news. Well, I think it would be very appropriate for us just to kind of end our service today just praying where you are. You can come and pray with a staff member if you'd like. Maybe this is going to be a time of confession for you. Maybe it's to voice to God that one thing you need to work on out of the three we talked about today. You know what? It may be that you just want to talk to the Lord and say, God, I'm so thankful and I'm so blessed that you've given me good news today. You've given me good news today, even though I'm going to be tempted and it's going to be tough and it's going to be hard in today's culture. It's a great time just to end our service and just spend time in prayer. We'll have some staff members down front that are here to talk with you, to pray with you. If you can hear my voice and you've never chosen to follow Jesus Christ, I want you to know that not only does he identify with our sins, but he took on our sins on the cross. He took the punishment of your sins and my sins on the cross. That's good news. Still tough to think about that my sins and your sins he took for us on the cross. And I want you to know that he loves you, he forgives you, he wants a relationship with you, and he wants you to be in heaven with him. We would love to talk with you if you've never chosen to follow Jesus Christ. We'd love to talk with you and just visit and to share more with you about that today or after the service. Let's stand at this time, and I want you to respond in the way that you need to respond. Pray in your seat. Come down and pray here. Grab a staff member. Talk, pray. And let's continue to listen to the Lord as we close in worship. All right.